Most biologists who study baboons have spent an enormous amount of time in the field, sitting, watching, taking careful notes. Most of the time, there's not much to see. The baboons eat, groom, fight, sleep. Today, we have a story about a bit of baboon behavior that is a little more unusual, and it comes to us from our friends at Radiolab.
Hello, Renee.
Hello, Jad. And that's Jad Aboumrad from WNYC.
And this is me, Robert Krulwich.
And guys, before we get started, since we haven't spoken in just a little while, remind our listeners what Radiolab is.
Radiolab is a place where we explore very big ideas that make us rethink ourselves.
And the world around us.
In this case, I was thinking about a rather odd moment of baboon behavior.
Hi, this is Barb.
Hi, Barb.
Hi, Barb. Who is Barb? By the way.
Barb Smuts is an anthropologist and a psychologist at the University of Michigan,
where I teach courses on animal behavior.
And she told me a story that I really want you to hear.
Okay.
It starts a bunch of years ago. She was doing some field research with some baboons in Kenya.
Well, my job was to get them comfortable enough with me that I could follow them around all day and record what they were doing.
And how long would you spend with them?
About 10 or 11 hours.
For how many days a week?
Seven.
for weeks at a time or a month at a time? Or what?
2 years.
2 years.
Yeah.
And your job was to sort of hang around them?
Yes. I would go wherever they went.
And she told me about this time when something really, really mysterious happened.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so set the scene for us. You were in kind of a valley?
Yeah, we're in fairly open grassland.
And you're with how many baboons?
About 30 animals, 30, 35. Okay. And there's a stream.
Oh, there is a stream.
I thought I would, add one.
This isn't the stream, is it?
No, I'm just enhancing her narrative just a little bit to give you a sense, So imagine the baboons.
They're heading back toward their sleeping place, grunting at each other and greeting each other.
These are baboons we're hearing? Like real baboons?
Yeah. Well, they're not Barb's baboons, but they're absolutely real baboons.
And I followed them walking along the stream many, many times before and many times after, but this time was different.
Because this time, all of a sudden,
they all stopped moving. Pretty much all at the same time. And they got very, very quiet. Even the little kids stopped there. Their kids are always making noises. And even they got quiet.
What were they all doing?
Everybody sat down on a rock, and most of them looked down into the stream, like into a little pool that was right below them.
And then what?
They didn't do anything. They just sat there in complete silence.
It sounds like they were almost doing a Quaker kind of thing.
It felt to me like a sacred moment.
The quiet was
but
that quiet?
It was that quiet. It was unlike anything I'd ever experienced with them before. Their baboons are almost never completely quiet. Even when they're sleeping, there's noise.
And how long did it last?
At least 5 minutes. And then they all got up and resumed their march down to the sleeping place like they always did.
Has anyone else ever seen baboons do this?
No, Barbara Smuts says she's the only scientist ever to have seen and written down behavior like this.
Maybe it's more common than I think it is. I don't know, but I felt as if I got a glimpse into a part of baboon life that humans just don't get to see.
So then what?
That's all I'm going to tell you.
What do you mean?
Well,
there's
because
no, there's
that's it.
That's it?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, what were they doing? Don't you want to know what they were really doing?
Well, how can I know that? I can't, like, all I'm saying is that maybe there is something I'm suggesting.
No, I know what you're suggesting. I mean, you even said it yourself, Quaker thing, and here we are on the holidays, and this is like a...
Well, little, I'm
I know what you're trying to do here, Crowwish, yeah. But what were... maybe they were looking at a fish.
The kids weren't making any movements. They weren't looking at a fish. She says they were not looking at anyone.
She said they looked down at the pool.
Yes, but I left out the part where she says they're not looking at anyone. They're all looking together into a...
into the water.
Into an empty space.
Because, so how do you get from that to, like, Quaker science?
Well, the capacity...
Quaker baboons. Come on.
I'm suggesting that baboons have inner lives.
Yeah, well, maybe. Sure. I'll give you that, but...
That's a lot. You gave me a lot just then.
Robert, let me throw in with Jed. What are you saying?
Well, all I'm saying, really, is that we know that baboons have a sense of fairness. They have a sense of empathy. They lead complex social lives. So why wouldn't they be capable, perhaps, of some kind of wonder or rapture or even thanks? To pay no attention to Jed. He's one of those people who hates Christmas. That's what he is.
I'm not going to be a Scrooge.
He's a Scrooge.
sorry, Jed, but I'm okay with the mystery.
Me too.
I'm okay for now.
All right. Well, thank you for now, Jed and Robert, for stopping in.
You're welcome, I think.
And that is, I know, Jed Abumrad and Robert Crowwich from the show Radiolab. It's a production of WNYC. And you can explore Radiolab at NPR.org. This is, by the way, Morning Edition. I'm Renee Montagne.
And I'm Linda Wertheim.